Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Asa Gray.
Yay.
And that's it.
That's not it. There's one more.
Who is it?
It's you.
Oh, yeah. I'm your host, Jesse Kimble. We're new store hours here at Gaming Grounds on 709 Broadway for all your gaming needs. Has resulted in us having to record extra early whenever there's a wrestling pay-per-view in the evening. So me and Ace are the only ones that were able to make it. Everybody else is either still out of town or in bed, which I'm a little jealous of them.
A little bit, but it's the A-team.
It is the A-team. We're who you're here to hear. Let's be honest here. All right. We're gonna talk a little bit about some Avengers stuff. A whole lot of trailers came out in this last week. And talk about some Animu at the end, and then at the very end we'll do our spoiler-free review of Pokemon Sun and Moon, as well as Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Gonna be a fun time.
Hooray.
Yeah. So, the only real thing we have in comic book, honestly, is just the U.S. Avengers covers. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. The U.S. Avengers were getting a different cover, depending on what state they're in. Like, all 50 states is getting a unique cover, which I thought was a really cool idea, but they ran out of cool heroes real fast.
Yeah, it's I'm pulling up that the list that you sent this morning. And let's see. It immediately goes from like Valkyrie is the West Virginia state, to Two Gun Kid, Avenger of Montana. In the blue hell is the Two Gun Kid?
I have to believe that he is a Silver Age hero, because I have personally never heard of him. And I'm sure there's at least one person out there thinking like, well, Jesse's not really a comic book fan if he has never heard of the Two Gun Kid.
I was going to say, well, like the only person that comes immediately to mind that would know for sure who that is Chris Edelman. But not only does he not sound like that, he would not have that thought towards you.
He would not.
He would probably just be like, yeah, no, there's no reason to know who the Two Gun Kid is.
Yeah.
And the one immediately following that is the Avenger of Oklahoma is Thor. Not Jane Foster Thor. Just regular old school Thor.
Thor like, Odinson.
Oh, we're out. So I'm really kind of hoping that doesn't like spoil the unworthy Thor.
Nah. Because, I mean, it pulls like pictures from straight up Silver Age heroes.
It really does.
For Missouri. We are a character you may never have heard of called the Whizzer. Now, the only reason that I know who the Whizzer is, there was an old cartoon. It was an old, like, Avengers cartoon. It had Captain America in it. It may have been a Spider-Man cartoon, now that I'm thinking about it. I don't remember which Marvel cartoon it was, but the way the Whizzer was introduced there was that he was an old guy, and there was a whole group of like an old Avengers team that all got the super serum, the same super serum that Captain America got, but they all got different abilities out of it. And the Whizzer got super speed. That's the only reason I know who the Whizzer is.
I assumed he was a speedster given his pose. But I would like to give just a special shout out to this really great series of four on this website. It goes from North Dakota as the Machine Man, Jocasta as the Avenger of Washington, which I guess I forgot that she turned good. Jack of Hearts is the Avenger of South Dakota.
Ooh.
And my favorite, I think, Avenger of Nebraska, D-Man.
Is that...
He's just wearing brown, and it looks like he's kind of got a Daredevil logo on a Kevlar vest, and it's...
I don't know who that is.
I don't either, like...
Because you say D-Man, and I jump straight to Dead Man.
Yeah, no.
I know that's DC, so yeah, there's no reason for that to be a thing. But you know what? That does transition pretty nicely into another thing I wanted to talk about. We got a new DC Direct trailer over this last week for Justice League Dark, which I kind of like the idea behind Justice League Dark just in general. It's pretty cool. Basically, they deal with the magical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a trailer for it. The trailer looked awesome, and it featured a few people that you may not have heard of, like Deadman.
I was less than thrilled with the trailer, honestly, because I loved the Justice League Dark New 52 run.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. because it was legitimately like it was probably the closest thing DC was doing to a horror book.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really get, I felt like this is pretty much just like, oh, it's Batman with Constantine Zatanna and Deadman and Swamp Thing. There, that's Justice League Dark. That's not what they are.
It looked like they flashed to a couple of other characters, too. There might be more people than just Batman involved.
I'm hoping so, because they did focus a little bit more on the actual Justice League, too. So,
yeah,
because
they showed them kind of interacting with the members of the Justice League Dark.
Mm-hmm.
But, getting Swamp Thing, like the DC version of Swamp Thing on screen,
mm-hmm.
is kind of awesome. Zatanna we've had before, but yeah. That's still cool. Deadman on there. Constantine's been in a few things.
But that was because when Deadman spoke, I don't know what was up with his voice.
They made him sound real weird.
It was Paul Bearer. Just that, oh, yeah. It's Always Sunny when they're trying to do the poofs.
The old British guys.
Yeah. It didn't land for me. And then also Constantine, his accent was almost non-existent, it felt like. It was kind of there, but...
Oh, see, I wasn't even paying attention to that yet, because, he should have a thick British
Cockney
accent. Yeah, a thick one. Yeah. So that'll be fun.
I'm excited that they're doing something with Justice League Dark. I would love for that to be a Rebirth book.
And so far, the DC directs have just been killing it.
Oh,
I can't
think
of a single one that I haven't enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Because Swamp Thing hasn't been in Rebirth at all, has he?
He was in Constantine, or the Hellblazer book.
That's right. Because, he was in that very first book.
He was in the first two, or he was mentioned in the Rebirth one, and then issue one, he was a part of it.
Okay.
But that's when I stopped reading, so.
That's when I stopped reading, too.
I didn't keep going on it.
Because I had completely forgotten about that, which I kind of wanted to, because it actually was pretty entertaining. It's just I've got so many other books.
Mm-hmm.
I cut Constantine, but that doesn't mean it was bad.
Yeah, no, that's one of the things is I was kind of taking a stock of my pull list, and I'm like, oh, I got to make some changes, because there's a couple things I want to add, but I can't add anything else without letting some of this stuff go.
There are a few reasons that Dave and Mary Joan love me, and Mary Jo love me and Asa, mm-hmm. and us talking about them on the podcast is certainly one of them. Our pull lists are another.
Yeah, they're big fans of that.
Yeah. And conversation. It's a good time. Definitely go check those guys out. Perryville. Villainous Grounds. Great cup of coffee. Anything
the best
you need
place.
Comics. The best place to be for comic books and coffee.
It's my happy place.
Yes. We're going to.
You can still, I think, if you're listening to this on Sunday, it's the last day you can get the drink of the week as the 5-star chai latte. Caramel chai latte.
Yeah.
And it's so good, because I normally just get the regular chai latte,
mm-hmm.
but that caramel gives it just that extra little bit of flavor. It goes so good with it.
Mm-hmm.
They are geniuses.
They are coffee geniuses. Also, yeah, we can go ahead and announce their Black Friday deal, can't we?
Yeah. We talked about it on Thursday, but their Black Friday deal, and I'm so sorry if I'm getting this wrong. I actually meant to send them a message, and I forgot. But they didn't send me a message saying, no. but Black Friday is 10% off, and then... Small Business Saturday, they're doing, it's 15% off. So I don't know if it applies to coffee, but I know it's comics for sure. It could also just be like any of the other kind of cool stuff that they have up there. Graphic novels, trade paperbacks, shirts, pop vinyls.
There you go. So
back
yeah, if
issues.
If you need to get stocked up, you want to get caught up on something, you want to get some trades, head over to Villainous Grounds this weekend. Small Business Saturday seems like the better day to go, but Black Friday works too.
And they do a thing that I'm so surprised I hadn't seen more comic shops do, where they will take individual issues and they will run through an arc and bundle it for a discount.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, you could buy all 6 of these issues and it'll be like $25, or you can buy this, 6-pack bundle and it's like for $18.
There you go. And it ends up being cheaper than, because typically when you buy a trade, like the trade paperback or even like hardcover, is going to be about $20.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's apparently Image, I guess, does $10 trades, which, holy crap, that's awesome. We talked about that with Jeremy Hahn a couple mm-hmm. of weeks ago. That's still, buying their bundled arc is still cheaper than buying a trade. And you get the cool, the niceness of having those individual issues, which
right.
I know me personally, I really like. I don't know why, but I really like just popping open a little comic book, knocking it out in 15 minutes, calling it a day.
Good. Same.
I like it. I like it a lot. Downside is I feel like whenever I'm in the mood to read comic books, I have to have like 20.
You just have like a small mountain next to you. Like, this one's done. No, on to the next one.
You should see the stack of finished books next to my bed.
Oh, yeah. No, but mine is it's taken up the entirety of the floor in front of my TV and bed, and it's slowly moving backwards. So I really need to get better about boxing everything up.
Yeah, I've got short boxes. I just have not or put them in there at all.
Yeah.
Like, I've got so many short boxes.
Same.
Just need to put them in. Especially, like, when Hastings was running their deal, like, when they were going under, they had the short boxes for, like, $3.50 or something like that. And they had
yeah,
the cool,
and I missed
like,
out on that.
That's unfortunate.
I'm real bummed.
Because, yeah, whenever we went to, like, the one in Cape wasn't very populated, but the one in Popper Bluff, so many.
See, and that was the trip I didn't get to go, so I missed out on all them boxes.
All them boxes. I can be a Spider-Gwen box and an Avengers box and a Justice League box.
See, because I was broken because they still had some of the Marvel boxes. Mm. And I was like, but I just need stuff for Rebirth. I can't put Rebirth stuff in a Marvel box.
That's heresy.
Yeah, so I'm just a broken, my brain no work. It's like, you dumb.
It's just a box.
Exactly.
But no, I mean, I completely get where you're coming from on that. Like, it would be weird. Like, all right, yeah, if you want to, like, look for Batman Rebirth, look in the Spider-Gwen box, you got it.
Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
Somebody write about that. Anyway, so we'll go ahead and move past that to, like, we got a couple more trailers here. Let's see. It was Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast got a trailer. Disney's remaking that movie. Looks to be a... It's kind of with the rest of their run of remaking the Disney classics, making them a little darker, more mature, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's got Emma... Oh, God. Emma... It's not Watson, is it? No, it's
Hermione?
Not Watson. Yeah, it's Hermione.
I think it's Emma Watson.
Is that Emma Watson?
Yeah.
Why can't I think of her last name? It's too early in the morning, folks.
You might be... Because you might be doing what I always do and get Emma Watson and Emma Stone confused.
I love Emma Stone.
Emma Watson is the... Yeah, in Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. Yeah. God, I don't know why I was blanking on her last name. I guess I wasn't blanking on it. I just didn't believe myself. Like, no, Jesse, that's
that
not
doesn't
right.
sound right.
But yeah, no, Emma Watson is in the movie, and she hasn't done anything really since Harry Potter other than, like, some small projects. So I'm excited to see her back on the silver screen. Yeah, it looked pretty good, the live-action version. The CG looked really cool. The Beast looked really cool. It'll be neat. I'll see it. Maybe not in theaters, but I'll certainly see it. We also got, let's see, the Full Metal Alchemist live action trailer. Mandy is going to be really upset that she wasn't here to talk about this one this morning. The Full Metal Alchemist, one of her and I share is like our favorite anime. It's just really, really good. And we got a live-action movie trailer of it earlier this week, or last week, I guess, technically. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it looks great. The CG looked really cool. We got to get a brief glimpse at Alphonse, who's the big suit of armor. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Because that'll be the big, like, because that's clearly going to be a huge part of the movie itself. So that needs to look great.
They look good, yeah.
But, I mean, with the way that even, like, Colossus and Deadpool... looked. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're at a point where there's really no reason that shouldn't.
And I mean, it is a Japanese studio doing it. Like, it's Warner Brothers is paying for it, but it's still a Japanese studio. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, Warner Brothers, please just let them do what they want to do. They know this material way better than you do. Just so much better than you ever could.
Yeah.
Because you guys aren't smart. Like,
well, wouldn't it make more... A suit of armor that just moves on its own? Well, no, you need to have someone in there.
Shut up, WB. That's the point.
People are going to be confused. This is for Americans.
It's not, though. It's going to be subtitled.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be in English at all because I want to see the actor for Edward is a Japanese person, mm-hmm. which it would honestly make more sense for it to be the other way around. Like, it'd be in, and I say that, it would make more sense for it to be, like, not necessarily American, but, like...
A blonde kid?
Blonde kid, blue eyes. Because, I mean, it was supposed to be kind of a parallel to Nazi Germany.
I was going
to
say, because, aren't they, it's not American, but it's, like, European.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's what it's supposed to be in the, like, the anime. Mm-hmm. But obviously they're speaking Japanese because it's an anime.
Right.
But they even went so far as, in at least the first anime, at the very end of the first anime, it kind of like shows how it's a parallel world to Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like it's... Or World War II era Germany.
But imagine
Germany,
if they
anyway.
Had magic.
Yeah, imagine if they could use alchemy. And they had a completely different set of wars and stuff going. So, yeah, no, it would make more sense for it to be in... Well, I guess at that point it would make more sense for it to be in German. But mm-hmm. either way, it would make more sense for... Or I guess it would be more true to the anime if it was white people. But I don't want to...
For the first time ever.
Right, for the first time ever.
The only time that would work.
Because, like, I feel bad for saying that, because it's like, well, Jesse, why are you whitewashing their culture? I'm like, I'm not.
It's a Japanese thing, but they use white people in their thing.
It's there. It's clear in animation. It's drawn. This isn't a story.
No, I mean, I get it. It is a Japanese property, so they want to use, you know... Japanese people. So.
Yeah.
And again, like, I don't have, like, that attachment that, like, especially Mandy or you have to it. So, to me, I'm just like, oh, I'm sure it'll be neat.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, like, the effects are going to be really cool. Like, seeing that live action. Because apparently the Attack on Titan movie was pretty good, like, the effects-wise and stuff. Because mm-hmm. they did a live-action version of that. I don't think this is the same studio behind it, but it looked neat.
But still, it's got to be similar technology.
Right. And if they could do Attack on Titan, if they could get... Because
if they could make the giant building-sized...
Titans yeah. do cool stuff. Yeah, like that was one of the things that I always heard with the Attack on Titan live-action movie was that there's a lot of mixed reviews on how good the story and everything was,
mm-hmm.
but nobody said anything bad about the special effects. Like, everybody was talking about how cool the special effects were. So, yeah. If they could do that with Attack on Titan, I'm certain they could do some really cool stuff with Full Metal Alchemist. So, yeah, hopefully that goes pretty well. With other trailer news, Spider-Man Homecoming trailer is going to debut in Rogue One. So I'm really, really pumped about that, as if I needed another reason to want to see Rogue One.
I might be more excited to see the trailer than I am Rogue One. I think Rogue One will be really good, but Spider-Man. I'm more of a Spider-Man person than a Star Wars person.
I'd stand by that. Yeah, that's probably me as well. And that's saying a lot, because those of you that know me know I'm a real big Star Wars fan. Like, I love me some Star Wars. Lots of expanded universe stuff. Like, yeah, well, I can't get enough
Jesse,
of that.
No.
I can't get enough of it. And they're giving me expanded universe movies now.
Not the real expanded universe. It's a whole other thing.
It's a whole other thing.
We're moving on.
Yeah. It's fine.
Speaking of Spider-Man, to kind of call back something we talked about last week with Tom Holland being signed to do 6 movies,
mm-hmm.
they did confirm that it is a trilogy. That it's a Spider-Man trilogy is part of that. And then okay. 3 outside
yeah,
projects.
With
which
Civil War
probably
being included.
Be like Civil War, and then probably... I'd be willing to bet the 2 Infinity War
movies. Yeah, almost certainly. And then, yeah, for those of you thinking like, well, what's is he going to die or something? Like, no, they'll probably just extend his contract as long as he stays popular.
Right.
And I don't know, doesn't...
Unless they decide to just go full Sony and like, all right, 3 movies, reboot the franchise.
Or...
It's a new one.
Or, no, like with Sony, 3 movies, let's put out 2 and reboot.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Oh, yeah, Amazing didn't get that 3rd movie.
Nope. It,
That's fine. I didn't need to see 9 villains.
Garfield was contracted for 3 movies.
He probably got paid still.
He did, because they broke the contract. There was actually, like, I've seen a couple of GIFs of stuff, like, going around. There was a picture of just this Spider-Man, like, hanging out on walls, like, basically a street performer Spider-Man, like, mm-hmm. kind of, like,
oh,
hanging
yeah.
on walls and stuff, like, you know, trying to get, like, tips and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And some lady came by and gave him, like, a $5 bill, and he pulls off the mask, and it's Andrew Garfield.
I think that was a Jimmy Kimmel bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just pretty great.
He's just super stoked about it.
Yeah, he's real happy. Oh, it was awesome. So yeah, I'm really excited about that, because like I've been waiting for the Spider-Man Homecoming movie for a while.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's going to be truly spectacular amazing.
I see what you did there. It could be spectacular. Yeah. It's another one.
I said that one first.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed it. It's early. I heard amazing, and I was like, oh, I can do it.
It's like, it's going to be spectacular or even amazing.
I had a thought and it's just gone now.
My bad.
Moving on.
All right, yeah, we'll move past it. Yeah, so I'm excited about that. And, speaking of some more Star Wars stuff, Emilia Clarke has been announced for the Han Solo movie. So now we've got Donald Glover, Emilia Clarke, and oh God, what's the kid's name?
And Han Solo.
Han Solo. It's
not Chris Pratt.
It's not Chris Pratt.
That's what
Sorry,
matters.
let's see. Yeah, because it's a guy that I had never heard of before.
This is us filling airspace
while we
as
look
we
for...
desperately try to Google Alden Ehrenreich.
Yes, Alden Ehrenreich. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if I was going to be saying that right.
That's fine. Yeah, no, and I think that guy will do a great job. He looks the part.
It's one of those things where all of the problems that I had with episode 4, casting was not even remotely a part of it. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, especially with Marvel, but now that I don't know how much influence Disney has in, like, the Marvel, like, casting or production. Like, how hands-on they are
close,
with that.
Yeah, I don't know if they have any hand in it.
But Star Wars is now owned by Disney as well, so I you got to trust it. I mean, clearly this isn't just a... I think they know how serious it is.
Well, because J.J. Abrams did a lot of the casting for... Star Wars Force Awakens, right?
Did he?
I think.
Uh-huh.
I want to say that's accurate. I might
it
be completely
been.
Wrong. But no.
I mean, he wanted to make a Star Wars movie so bad he just... made Star Wars movies out of Star Trek, so I mean,
you're right.
It wouldn't.
That's accurate.
it wouldn't surprise me if he was as hands on as possible with it.
I still like the. Did you ever hear the story about like the onstage accident involving Harrison Ford?
Oh, where he like broke his shoulder?
Yeah, I think Clavicle? Like Harrison Ford like broke his arm or something like mm-hmm. that, or part of his arm because something fell on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then J.J. Abrams, like in a fit of panic, ran to try and lift it off of him. And it was just this really, really heavy thing. And he ended up, like, pulling a muscle or something like that, trying to pick this thing up off of Harrison Ford because he just freaked out. Like, oh, God, my hero must save. And everybody's like, JJ, what are you doing?
Han, no. It's like, his name's Harrison. Han!
It's the same, like, part. It's the same bit every time I hear Lando Calrissian.
Lando Calrissian.
Get Turk from
Billy
the
D. Yes, Lando. Yeah.
Oh, that was a great episode. But yeah, no, and then Donald Glover is Lando Calrissian.
I'm so excited for that.
Yeah.
That man. Oh, and now he has 2 songs out, which he just needs to give us that album.
I heard the first one was really good.
Oh, it's so good. The second one is still really good. I'm disappointed that we're not getting just a straight-up hip-hop album out of him again because Childish Gambino is just a great rapper, and he's a great writer for it. And if you would have told me 6 months ago that, hey, so there's this, like, synth, funk, like, rhythm album coming out that you were just going to be so stoked for, I would have said, get away from me, you crazy person, because none of those things appeal to me at all. But it, like, oh, there's just something about it.
He does a really great job.
And it might just be hero worship, but, oh, it's so good.
That might have a little bit to do with it.
Redbone is the new one, and then Me and Your Mama is the first one.
Yeah, Me and Your Mama, I heard it was really good. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, Donald Glover has he does rap. Like, Childish Gambino is a thing.
Yeah, and, that is his, it was the What Is Your Wu-Tang Clan name generator website, and it gave him Childish Gambino. So that is his musical persona.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely check that out. It's on Spotify, the first couple of songs. At the very least, the Me and Your Mama is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard the second one yet. I didn't know they gave us another one.
Yep.
So, yeah, definitely check that out because it's pretty fantastic. Moving on, though, Studio Ghibli, we'll talk a little bit about that. Hayao Miyazaki is coming out of retirement again for a new short film called Boro the Caterpillar. For those of you that follow the Miyazaki movies, that's like Spirited Away, oh, God, what other movies he's done? Like Kiki's Delivery Service is another really popular one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those like feature-length Disney anime movies, which it wasn't always Disney, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all Miyazaki movies. Like a lot of the Studio Ghibli stuff was done by Miyazaki. Princess Mononoke. Oh, God, why didn't I think of that one? That's my favorite one. So, yeah, he's coming out of retirement again, which, for those of you that are fans, know that retirement really means nothing to Miyazaki. He retired for the first time 18 years ago, has put out 6 films since.
That legitimately made me laugh whenever you told me when you said that earlier, like before the show. Like, so he's retired again. I was like, oh, I mean, I'm a pro wrestling fan, so retirement means nothing to me for most of the time. And you're like, yeah, so he retired 18 years ago. Oh, okay. Six movies. Oh, dear. That's like the time frame that like all of his really, really great ones have come out, I feel like.
Yeah, because anime started becoming a lot more popular, and it became a lot easier to produce the movies, because originally a lot of them were hand-drawn. So, yeah, like it became way easier to do with the computers and what have you.
Technology.
And speaking of Spirited Away, it's the 15-year anniversary for Spirited Away is coming up, which, hard to believe, that movie came out in 2001.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's coming out. It's coming to theaters briefly. I think it's a Fathom event, so check out your local, like, Warenberg. I know Ronnie's is the closest one in this area. And I think there's one in Paducah as well.
Because that's the same Fathom. That's the same one that was doing, like, the Killing Joke.
Yes.
Premiere. Okay.
And, yeah, it was, like, Ronnie's up in Arnold, I think, is where that one's at. It's up near St. Louis. I don't remember where exactly. Like, I know how to get there, but I don't know where I'm going.
I didn't get to go to that one, so I don't know where it would be.
Yeah, I think that one ended up just being me and Mandy, which she enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, except for the beginning.
Yeah,
it was weird. Once it got to the actual like part from the comic book, solid. Up to that point,
it's like, why?
Why is this happening? Anyway, so yeah, like if you guys want to see that in theaters again, which I mean, I recommend. It was a really good movie. Check it out on Fathom Events. You can find a local theater doing it or the closest theater to you. Like I said, hopefully it's closer than an hour and a half away, like it is for us. Here in good old Cape Girardeau, which, no, there's not an ocean nearby. We are in Missouri. I'll never get it. And it will also be followed by or it might be preceded by a little short film about, like, the Studio Ghibli cast and crew. So it'll be kind of neat. I think it's called, like, Studio Ghibli, or Episodes from Studio Ghibli Number 2 or something like that. Implying there's a number 1 that I don't know about.
Well, they did some kind of documentary on Miyazaki because it was just like just him chain smoking for an hour and a half and being mean to people.
That sounds like a fun time. I don't know, that might be it. Let's see. And a little bit more movie news. David Leitch is going to direct, I think I'm saying that right, is going to direct Deadpool 2. We talked a couple of weeks ago about how Tim Miller quit with creative differences with Ryan Reynolds. David Leitch, the director for John Wick, is going to be picking up Deadpool 2. Fox did say that he likely will not be back for Deadpool 3. And I choose to accept your translation of this line.
Oh, yeah, because you put in the... Because when I sent that, because I'm stoked for this, but you took an excerpt from the article and it said, at the same time, Fox and the producers are also putting into motion Deadpool 3 and will be searching for a separate filmmaker to tackle that installment.
And part of me, like, when I initially read that, my first thought is they are already looking for a separate filmmaker for Deadpool 3 so they can get started filming Deadpool 3 before Deadpool 2 even hits theaters. Or even like goes gold, or not gold. What's the
movie equivalent of going gold?
Right.
I don't know what it's called either.
So yeah, whenever like it wraps filming, whatever.
Because I think because you kind of were worried like, oh, they're just kind of like, okay, well, we're going to kind of have a wash on Deadpool 2. So let's really kind of focus on 3.
Well, no, my worry is just that they're going to try and do too much too quick because they're like, Deadpool made us a whole lot of money. We can do 2 Deadpool movies in 1 year. That's fine. That's not. It's not.
That won't oversaturate the market at all.
That's not. People are still gonna be excited, right? Yeah, but don't let the movie suffer because you want to move quick, Fox.
Yeah, but I think it's less that and it's more. Okay, they had to kind of scramble to find a new director because they were pretty like they're already like in production for 2. And, you know, maybe even it was just David like, okay, so I'm not actually going to do the 3rd one. Like, they're just like, okay, hey, you do. Because John Wick is one of my favorite action movies in the past few years. Like, it is so good. So it's just like, okay, we got this guy who can really do action. We're probably going to need Ryan Reynolds to really kind of have some creative input for the comedy. Which he has clearly proven he's up for.
Absolutely.
He
is Wade Wilson, the human equivalent.
Oh, yeah. So so it's like, okay, so we have this guy to do 2, but we really need someone who likes the character, who's like actually, you know, maybe this guy's not a huge Deadpool fan to begin with or really even knows who it is. Mm-hmm. He just wants to be able to tackle a new action project, but they want someone who shares Ryan Reynolds' excitement for the character to really kind of helm the third one.
Right.
So, you know, it's just them sending out feelers now. That's what I choose to believe, because this is like the last aspect in my life that I'm really optimistic about, this Deadpool movie.
Yeah, if you know Asa, I was really surprised to see optimism.
Me try to put a positive spin on something.
Yeah, like that's unusual.
I pulled a muscle.
Because normally it's me trying to be optimistic about something, but in this one, I just have no faith in Fox. I feel like the first Deadpool was only good because Ryan Reynolds and Tim Miller just kind of did whatever they wanted.
And I think, what I hope is it's the opposite of WB. They're like, oh, we let them do this thing. They made us a bunch of money. Hey, go do your thing again.
And see, my
worry...
And just
make us a bunch of money again.
Is that Fox is going to be like, all right, so we're giving you all this money to do it. So, you know, then they're going to get overly paranoid. They're like, no, well, we gotta make sure that this is going to appeal to the youth.
And I don't know if it was that same article that I sent or a different one that I saw, but Ryan Reynolds is actually kind of campaigning to keep the budget low or on the low end, which I think is smart.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's Deadpool 1 didn't have, like, a, you know, monstrous budget or anything, but holy crap, was it fantastic. I think the bulk of the budget, honestly, went to making Colossus, which... I mean, like, it's one of those things, if you didn't know going in that Colossus was CG, you'd almost believe
that was a rubber
there
suit.
Was, like, yeah, 7 foot, like, Thor dude just walking around.
They
with
just had
them.
The mountain.
Yeah. Well, even, like, Hopfjord Bjorgensen, I think is his name. Thor Bjorgensen. Thor.
Right.
Is what everybody calls him. Or the mountain. Like, even he's only, like, 6'4 or 6. Or no, he might be 6'9, now that I'm thinking about it. But yeah, he's also just 400 something pounds of absolute muscle.
Yeah. Like, scary.
And yeah, like even he's not as big as Colossus was in that movie.
Right.
It looked like they just got like a super cool costume on some really gigantic dude, really gigantic Russian dude. But no, yeah, it was CG. It was really, really well done.
Yeah.
Just really well done CG.
So, and John Wick is just such a great, Dalton would get this reference if he was here, but it's headshot party. The Young Bucks have super kick party. John Wick is headshot party, and it's awesome. And it's there's scenes where it's a little bit more wide open because it's mostly like there's some hand to hand, but it's mostly gun battles.
Mm.
But they're like how they should be. So it's just like bang, you're dead, bang, you're dead, bang, you're dead. It's not like long drawn out behind cover, blind firing stuff. Yeah. It's hard hitting, and it's
Did you ever see the movie Equilibrium?
Mm-mm.
With Christian Bale.
I don't think so.
You should look that one up if you like that kind of gun battle stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's real neat. Like, it's in almost a Fahrenheit 451 kind of society where they had, like, book burnings. Like, media's not allowed to be consumed. They've got, basically, everybody has to take these pills every day to keep their emotions down.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't really feel emotion, like, they procreate.
So they really did just do Fahrenheit 451, but with guns.
Pretty much. they have these group of peacekeepers, which, you know, similar again. But, they just have guns, and they have these awesome, like, almost Matrix-style gun battles, where it's just, like, people running around, like, even a lot of hand-to-hand combat, but still with guns in hand.
Mm-hmm.
The fight scenes are really cool.
Yeah.
It's a super cheesy movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a great movie.
This is not cheesy. Like, it's done really well. Like, it's so beautifully shot, too.
Mm.
There's a scene in a nightclub.
See, a little bit of, like,
that's
that
very
Judge
kind
Dredd.
Of a little bit claustrophobic-y. But him just working his way down this hallway. Oh, it's so good. Because to spoil the first 5 minutes of the movie, this is the too long didn't read version that I gave to Ethan and Billy last night.
Mm.
Keanu Reeves plays John Wick. John Wick has a super hot wife and a super awesome car. His wife gives him a puppy. John Wick has the puppy in the car with him. Some Russian mobster dude see his car, like, hey, give me your car. And he says, no. So they follow him home. They kill his wife. No, they don't kill the wife. The wife dies because she gets sick and dies. So now he's just got the puppy. It's all that's left of his wife. Mobsters follow him home, steal his car, and kill the puppy. it's just very upsetting to watch. But plot twist. Keanu Reeves, who plays John Wick, is not just some dude with a super hot wife and a nice car. He is the most feared, retired, like, underground assassin of all time. And he is real mad. And then the movie begins. And it's the best.
I like that premise a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they, like, did you ever see Judge Dredd?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was just another just great action movie.
That's just a hair below John Wick for me.
Really?
Yeah, because, again, it's just a very simple premise, but it's just action.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a whole lot of what Judge Dredd was, real simple premise. Like, they get called a building, they find out shenanigans are going on in the building.
They kill the building. They kill the building.
Everyone in the building dies.
Yep, and that's pretty much John Wick. They make Assassin mad. Assassin gets mad. Assassin takes out that anger. And a lot of other people in the course of it. It's one of those movies where it's like they announced that they were doing a sequel, and you're just like, how, though? Like, I don't... Okay, I mean, I'm
hopefully
on board.
It's not like Taken or something like
that.
Oh,
yeah.
Because, like, I actually did kind of like the first Taken movie.
But this time he gets a cat. Oh, no!
He gets a cat and names it after his wife.
Martha!
So yeah, no, that's freaking Taken story. It's like, it's so dumb. Daughter gets taken. The daughter doesn't get taken again in the second movie, does she?
No, it's the wife, isn't it?
It was the wife, yeah.
I actually
had in the third movie he gets taken.
Yeah, I only saw the first one. I didn't see the next two.
The first one's good.
That's great. I love Taken.
It was a fun movie. Mm. It's just the next two were like, really?
And then it was every movie Liam Neeson did ever since it came out.
Pretty much. Which I like Liam Neeson. But anyway, go ahead and move past. Like, what? Where did that even start at? David Lynch.
David Lynch taking over for.
All right. So we've also got one thing that I'm particularly excited about. Marvel canceled a while back or took the Inhumans movie off of the release schedule, which I was a little upset about because I'm watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know Ace is getting caught up now.
I'm about halfway through season 3 and season 4 is airing now. Yeah.
And holy crap, is season 4 fantastic. I can't get enough of it.
That's good.
I thought I was going to hate Ghost Rider. I love it. Love every minute of it. And they got that later time slot, so it's a little grittier than it has been before, a little bit more violent. Good stuff. But ABC has announced that, I think it was announced. I was thinking it was leaked for a second. I was like, no, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure it's official. We're getting a new TV show on ABC, a new Marvel TV show called The Inhumans. The first two episodes are going to be limited release in IMAX, so you can go see the first two episodes that way before they actually hit TV, which, yeah, I'm really, really excited. Apparently, my boss told me this. I haven't confirmed it. My boss at my other job, that Lockjaw is definitely going to be in it, which I just love Lockjaw. For those of you who don't know, he's a big old teleporting pooch. And he's just really cool. And I don't know, a lot of pictures that you find have Black Bolt on the cover. If you search like ABC's The Inhumans, you'll see Black Bolt. Black Bolt has not in any way been confirmed for this show. And I don't know why he keeps getting... I mean, I know he's like the poster child for
The Inhumans. Yeah, because he's the most famous Inhuman.
Yeah,
because
it's Black Bolt and Medusa are the big two. Mm-hmm.
And Medusa is pretty far down the list behind Black Bolt at this point.
Oh yeah, as far as
there's like the first family. I'd almost argue that at this point Karnak might be
more popular than Medusa.
But only because he's the only Inhuman with a book now. With a solo book, I should say.
Miss Marvel.
Oh yeah, she is an Inhuman.
Yep.
Okay.
And she might be the most popular Inhuman at this point, but like most people don't really talk about her as an Inhuman.
Mm-hmm.
But no, her book is incredible.
But is Black Bolt even in anything ongoing right now?
Not that I know of, but because I know there's Uncanny Inhumans. I think he's in that one.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. Like I haven't, honestly, the only thing I'm reading with Inhumans is Miss Marvel and then,
Champions.
And then the X-Men books have stuff about Inhumans.
Yeah. Cause that's getting ready to start. Pretty soon.
Yeah. Like the new Inhumans versus X-Men is going to start up pretty soon. I think Death of X, I want to say, has one more issue to go, maybe. Or it might be done, but I think it's got one more issue to go. And then we'll start with the Inhumans versus the X-Men. Mm-hmm. And then we get the new X-Men books, like the Gold, Blue, Generations, Weapon X, all that good stuff.
Yep.
So, yeah. But, yeah, going backwards, the Inhumans TV show. I'm pretty excited about this. ABC at one point had two Marvel shows, and they were getting a third one going, mm-hmm. featuring it was going to feature Mockingbird and Hunter. And I think I don't know what they were going to call it now that I'm thinking about it. But they had a pilot ready for it, and the pilot got greenlit. But then, like, ABC canceled Agent Carter and then canceled the Mockingbird show, like the Mockingbird and Hunter show, which made me kind of sad because I was pretty excited about that show. Like,
I like Hunter a lot. I said that was a message I sent you.
Yeah.
It was just like, I love him so much.
So I guess I spoiled that a little bit for you.
I mean, I doubt it.
Yeah. So either way, yeah, him and Bobby Morse or Mockingbird, I really like both of them in the show. I like mm-hmm. Mockingbird in general.
I like her a lot more now because, like, she gets introduced in season two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he does too. Hunter always, like, his character stays really consistent. She kind of starts a little bit more of, like, the mysterious, not really sure what's her deal is.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it seems like she's a lot more, her and, like, the other, like, new people are more established on the team.
Yeah.
I like her a lot more.
And
I like everybody a lot more now that it's not the whole spy intrigue thing that was going on that I felt was unnecessary in season two, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Like season three, they really start going like all in on Inhumans by season four, they kind of let off of that a little bit.
And I know you guys were like, you and Hunter and maybe Tanner were talking about it in the group chat, but so like, do you think this spells trouble for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
And see, that's what Hunter was saying. I was going to bring that up. There's a possibility that this will replace Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
And it will just be about the Inhumans. And I don't want that to happen.
Right.
I think the two can exist separate from one another. Like, just take Daisy over to the Inhumans TV show.
But and you don't think losing Daisy would hurt?
If they bring back Bobby Morse and Hunter,
mm-hmm.
and then if they give, like, in the comic books... Well, Bobby's been, she's gotten, been part of a lot of experiments,
mm-hmm.
Including a super soldier serum that actually took with her because of other experiments that she had been a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if they make her, like, basically female Captain America, because, you know, super soldier.
Right.
Then, like, between her, May,
Coulson.
Like, Coulson, obviously. Fitzsimmons, like, that cast is still pretty solid.
Right.
I don't think it needs Daisy, and they could even keep Ghost Rider going with it.
Yeah.
It's like Ghost Rider could, I guess, join up with the team and be like a recon force or something like that. I don't know. But I think I think the show could succeed without Daisy,
mm-hmm.
even though, like, yeah, she is a big part of it. But, yeah, I think it'd be fine without her, and then, you know, she goes to the Inhumans. Or she's just a bridge between the two shows, and, you know, you see a lot of crossover with the two.
Yeah.
I don't know how they want to do it. But because, I mean, they haven't had a concurrent show yet. Agent Carter and was way past.
That's kind of one of my problems with all of these comic book shows is when they try to do the crossover stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. running at the same time, like, when a Captain America movie comes out.
Yeah.
If you were not, like, okay, I saw the most recent episode of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I saw Captain America opening weekend, then I can watch the next episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's where your timeline is. But if you watch that second episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or you see Captain America, like, before you even start the show, everything is spoiled.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with, like, Flash and Green Arrow on CW. Because, mm-hmm. like, I fell behind on Flash on Green Arrow because Flash was so good. And then, okay, well, I have to get back to Star City and stop Big Bad. Like, oh, okay. Sorry, I'm not watching one episode of Flash, one episode of Arrow, one episode of Flash, one episode of Arrow.
Yeah, like, I used to keep up with it, you know, I would watch, like, both of them there, but at this point, like, I don't really care about Green Arrow anymore.
Oh,
like,
that makes me so sad. Yeah. The comic's good.
I'm sure.
Read that.
Pretend
it's Stephen Amell.
Because I haven't even looked in to see how this season is doing, like, mm-hmm. or if the Flash impacted it at all.
Cody Rhodes was in it.
Really?
And I really wanted to, like, be able to be caught up because I really want to watch anything Cody Rhodes does, but...
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have to look into it and see if it's doing well and then actually watch it, but Boy, last season was just so
bad. See if the subreddit's still a Daredevil subreddit.
Oh, that was a good time. But yeah, no, the crossover stuff with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that did get kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
At least now I think they've limited it to just the really big movies.
Yeah.
So, like, or at least, you know, if it's stuff that's going to be a big deal that actually does impact Civil War, because, or sorry, that actually does impact the show. Because, like, with their Civil War crossover stuff or tie-in stuff,
mm-hmm.
all they really talked about was the Sokovia Accords. Okay. They didn't really mention, like, they didn't spoil anything like they did with Age of Ultron, mm-hmm. where...
And that one didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Like, but that's a whole other topic thing.
Yeah, because Age of Ultron...
Because I completely forgot that that would have debuted as I'm going through the season. So it's like, okay, episode one, this happens. Or not episode one, but like, okay, this episode, this happens. And then, like, I completely forgot about Age of Ultron. And then they're talking about, you know, oh, the city that fell out of the sky and mm-hmm. all this. And but then that meant all of these changes. I'm like, did it?
Yeah.
But nice yeah. For you to show that on your actual show.
And then it made sense for Winter Soldier to go into, like, just
the full Hydra.
Yeah, because, like, a show called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
mm-hmm.
is certainly going to be impacted by
the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm. and Nick Fury dying and all this other stuff. So
wink.
Yeah. So yeah, that was one of those things. Like, when that happened, I was like, oh my.
Right.
So yeah, like, cause they spoiled the crap out of Winter Soldier.
Oh yeah.
Cause like you had like episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. aired, Winter Soldier premiered, then next episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is dealing with the fallout
and
of the
fall. You're assuming that
that
you've seen Winter Soldier on opening weekend or, yep. you know, whatever the time frame was.
Because yeah, it spoils so much stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that makes sense. But at least now, I don't know if it's just because... Well, no, because big stuff is still happening with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the show, they're kind of like really running with, like, you know, they got a new director. Like, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s back up and up in the public. And all this other stuff. So, I mean, they're moving forward with it. I don't know, like, what's going to happen in the movies, because Maria Hill hasn't showed up at all in anything.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's a little bit of a big deal. I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes. But I am really excited about the Inhumans.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be really good, especially if they...
If they focus on, like, the first family type deal,
mm-hmm.
I think I would... That's just a personal preference. Like, I would rather see... that as its own kind of entity, and then just leave Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. alone, except for the odd crossover, but don't go crossover crazy, because I don't need that.
Right. And it would make a lot more sense for them to do First Family than, like, the hodgepodge of Inhumans that they have right now.
That they've been, like, randomly... Because, like I said, I'm still pretty early into Season 3, but, like, just the random people that they're finding and...
Yep. And, I mean, yeah, in Season 4, they're, like, they've kind of put that on the back burner just in general. Like, there's still, like, Inhumans that have been, like, revealed are still showing up and doing stuff, but they're, like, I don't think it's a huge spoiler to say that Daisy is the only Inhuman involved in S.H.I.E.L.D. right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they blame that on the Sokovia Accords. Like, you can't have superpowered people on government teams,
mm-hmm.
And stuff like that.
So I just had a thought, and this might be an after-the-show conversation that we have, but it's gonna make me real mad, because in the comic books, they're muties. Mutants are scum. They mm-hmm. are subclass citizens.
Right.
Do the Inhumans get treated the same way?
No.
Because those are aliens.
Yes.
Those are straight up aliens. They are inhuman.
Accurate.
Mutants are people. Right. They just got some extra going on. Yeah. But the Inhumans are cool. We're fine with them.
In the actual, like, in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show,
mm-hmm.
they get treated a lot like that. Like, they get treated like mutants. Like, you know, they are.
Oh, yeah,
aliens.
I've noticed, like
that's
because they're scary and it's new. It's just happening.
Yeah. And
I mean, like, I'm talking in the comic world, like, where they have been established. This is not a new thing that we're afraid of.
Yeah, no, see, in the comic books, like, Inhumans have been around for a while. Mostly they know the First Family.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Inhumans unleash the Terrigen Cloud.
Right.
And you basically have in the current comic books, like, these two Terrigen Clouds roaming the Earth and just turning people inhuman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if anybody has the DNA in it, which is, like, I don't know, 1 in 1,000 per population, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, certain cities are terrified of it. Like, once everything went out and, like, figured out what it was, You have even other organizations. Like, it played a big part in Civil War, the most recent Civil War. That's kind of how, like, a chunk of that started. And a lot of their conflict with the X-Men and the Avengers and stuff like that has to do with the Terrigen Clouds. And then, yeah, like, the one, like, Ulysses is the kid's name that... Mm-hmm. Gets turned inhuman and really does start Civil War.
Because he has the permanent... He sees the future.
He sees a future.
Mm-hmm.
That's a... No, that was basically every time somebody says, like, he sees the future, Iron Man is somewhere nearby saying, a future. Because, yeah, Iron Man is very opposed to the whole, like, arresting... Yeah, the idea of arresting people before they commit crimes.
That just makes me itchy. If, like, oh, we're cool with aliens, but y'all are gross. Go live on the moon. You go live in purgatory.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really pretty much how the mutants are treated. And then, like I said, the Inhumans, they are treated better than that.
Which just...
But, yeah.
We're moving on. Because I'm just going to get angry. Because that's just stupid.
It's how they do in the comic books. Like, I'm sure
Can I blame Bendis? I blame Bendis.
You can blame Bendis. That's fine. Stupid You can blame Bendis on so many things. Killing characters that I like.
Time travel.
Yeah, time travel.
That's not a Bendis thing.
No, that's Grant Morrison. He is really into time travel.
And Mark Waid, apparently.
Yeah, but he does it right.
Well,
I like it.
I'm over time travel. Thanks, Flash. Season 2.
Oh, wait till you get to season 3.
I'm hesitant. For that exact reason.
It's so good, though. Like, I am honestly, like, Flash Season 3 might be the best television has to offer right now. It is so good. Holy crap, that show is good.
We'll get there.
Yeah. What else did I want to talk about?
I got one thing that you didn't mention before the show, just real quick while you're looking. So, the Unworthy Thor debuted a couple weeks ago in Marvel's Now, new Marvel Now.
Right.
That was originally supposed to be an ongoing series. Mm. It is now a 5-part series. So it got shortened to just like one arc and that's it. And it's already like issue 3 is supposed to come out in January, I think it said. But the artist already dropped out.
I remember seeing like you posted
cause,
that.
Because I can pull up the actual story real quick. Because I saw that and I was really bummed because I really liked that first issue of Unworthy Thor. It was very much a Marvel thing where because I haven't been keeping up with the entire Marvel universe, there are some pretty big chunks of stuff that I just don't know what's going on, which I'm not a huge fan of. But the way that they handled it, I thought was, you know, it was interesting the way that they're bringing back Odin's son.
Yeah.
But yeah, series artist Oliver Koipel no longer illustrating the planned third issue in January. And then retailers only newsletter sent out... It's the second major change to the book because it was announced as an ongoing series but was shortened to 5 issues.
Wow.
So there's no reason given for why he
I mean, they'll probably
left,
just
but
they'll finish like the arc and he'll become just Thor again at the end of the 5 issues is my guess.
Because it's basically like with all of the Secret War stuff, like, oh, hey, so there's a whole bunch of different Thors, which mean there's a whole bunch of different hammers.
Right.
What if there's still one of those hammers floating around somewhere?
Or even like from the Ultimate Universe, like the Thor from that universe that clearly no longer exists. Maybe his hammer's still somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that was the one thing that I thought was interesting / a bummer.
Yeah, I might have to check into that because I haven't read the first issue yet. I have it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
good. I liked it.
We got about 7 minutes here, so we'll try and wrap up pretty quick because I do have a couple more things I want to talk about. Telltale Games has unveiled their Secret Marvel project. And it will be a Guardians of the Galaxy game, which I am completely on board for. I love Telltale Games.
Yeah.
And I love me some Guardians of the Galaxy.
I have no doubt that they'll tell a great story. I just really wish that they would fix their stupid animation style because those games look like butt.
Yeah, but at least they only charge you like $30 for the whole thing.
Yeah. That's the other thing is because I know Dalton's playing through the Batman one episode by episode.
Mm.
And he's like, every time I talk to him, he's like, they ended on another cliffhanger and I hate it because it's so good. It's like, that's why I'm waiting.
Yeah, you got to wait for the whole thing. You can't just play through it by episodes.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing, we'll do a little bit of what I promised you at the beginning, the spoiler-free Pokemon review for Sun and Moon. Obviously, that came out on
Do you
want to
do the Fantastic Beast ones first? Because you were the only...
Yeah, we can do that real quick.
Steven, you saw the movie too, didn't you?
Yes.
Come here.
All right, so yeah, we might get a little bit of Stephen Bright here on the show. But yeah, Stephen and I went with our buddy MC to watch Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them last night. I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. Steven, are you familiar with our rating system on Nerd Up?
No, I haven't been keeping up with the show, so go over that real quick.
You might need to move a little closer to the mic, too. On Nerd Up, the way we review movies, because I hate the number system, you give it a full price, means like pay full price, see it like whenever you possibly can. Matinee, like it's worth seeing in theaters, but yeah. Then there's rental and skip it completely. Those are the four stages.
Okay.
So go ahead and get your review of it first. What do you give it in those categories?
Honestly, I would do full price for it. It was really enjoyable. It was surprisingly more focused on the beasts than I would have expected from the trailers, what the trailers showed.
Mm.
It just looked like more wizards battling out in like 1920s New York City.
There was surprisingly little actual like wizard fights to it. Like, I mean, there were a couple there, but yeah, no, Steven's right. There's surprisingly little. I would say at the very least a matinee.
Mm-hmm.
Like I enjoyed it. I don't regret paying full price for it. I understand that a lot of people aren't as easily amused by Harry Potter as I am. So I'm going to give it a matinee, or the Harry Potter universe in general. It's definitely worth seeing in theaters. Like the visual effects are incredible, which at this point we've talked about earlier. There's really no excuse for them not to be at like in this day and age. The story is great. Like everything, like I really liked. They have basically the comic relief character in Dan Fogler. I did not think that was going to go well at all. Played a character by the name of Jacob Kowalski. And you kept thinking, like, I'm going to hate this man any day or any second now. And I never did. He ended up being one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Those are always the best kind of supporting characters where you get just enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you could tell that they want them to be a part of the movie. But then, like, oh, you got to walk a real fine line.
Right. And they danced that line perfectly. And it I really, really liked that character. So anyway, yeah, and we'll go ahead and move on then to a little bit of Pokemon. So yeah, that came out on Friday. Lindsay unfortunately was not able to be here with us. I know that she got it. I don't even know if I'm sure she's played it. It's Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like Asa and I got it on release day. We're playing it. I played it a little bit since then. Asa's put more time into it than I have.
So this is why I kind of think like this is our thoughts, like our initial thoughts we'll give.
Yes.
As opposed to, because we can't really do a full on like
review
of it. Yeah,
we haven't beaten the game yet. So
If Billy was here,
he's close.
But I actually, like, just the other day or last night, I looked at when I started it up, I was like, yeah, I've probably put 4 or 5 hours into it. And then I opened it up as like 9.5. I think I'm probably at 10 at this point. I was just like, oh, that doesn't seem right. It's so different in so many different ways, but it's also like very subtly different, like just subtle tweaks that I would have never even thought of, but I think are great. But you really just have to get past that first like hour and a half, because it is the most hand-holding, oh, do you want to know how to catch Pokemon? Well, let's teach you how to battle trainers. Like, no, I am a 7-time world champion.
That's my biggest complaint with the game. And I even have like a story here about that. So yeah, they really do. They treat you like this is your first time playing.
Mm-hmm.
There's not an option to skip.
And I get that. I do, because not everybody is.
A lot of people, there's
this
going
could
to be
their very first time playing, and I understand that you don't want to try to alienate those people. But like you said, there should be some sort of like...
There should be a skip button, like an option to say like, is this your first game or have you played all 7 of them?
Right.
Well, have you played all of them? And yeah, like, please just let me move on. I understand how the battle system works. I can see it. Like they've dumbed it down to the point where it's just like you don't even have to think about type matchings anymore. It tells you in the combat.
Which it only does that after the first time you've already faced that Pokemon.
Oh, really?
Yep. So, like, if a normal type Pokemon pops up and you're using fighting type moves, it won't tell you that it's super effective until
the next time you fight
that Pokemon.
Well,
and I think it does
that's
that.
Actually pretty
and
cool.
I think it does that by move too. So, like, if you because I had a Gastly that learned Nightshade, and when I came up against another one, the Lick, which is also a ghost type move, said super effective, but it didn't say anything under Nightshade.
Huh.
So that's
okay. I'm okay with that then. Like basically, like once you've discovered, like, oh, this is super effective against this, then
it
tells you.
Once you get some info from into your Pokedex from it, like you don't even have to catch it. It's just like, you know, okay, you've registered it.
Okay, I like that a little bit more. But yeah, no, like there was the scene in particular that I'm thinking of, very early in the game, like it actually, like Professor Kikui actually fights and catches a Pokemon for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
And even in old games, they've given me the option to skip this tutorial of how to catch a Pokemon. Like, I understand. You weaken a Pokemon, you throw a Pokeball at it, he's yours.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, you catch it, etc. And, yeah, no, like, I was trying desperately to skip it because it's a good, like, minute and a half of, like, all right, well, so first you do this. First you attack it. Then you do this. Then you click on the bag. You can hit the screen or press the button and navigate to it. And then you hit a Pokeball and you throw it. And, oh, look, there he is. And I was trying desperately to, like, find anything to make it go faster, make it skip. And what I ended up doing was finding the button combination for a soft reset. And I hadn't saved. And suddenly, like, my screen goes black, and then it flashes up asking what language I want to choose. Boy, was I unhappy.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, because the intro, like, they want to make this a lot more story-driven, and I get that. It is still, like, just plodding, like, slow and...
It really is slow going. I just beat the first Kahuna, so I've done the first island challenge... Beat the first totem Pokemon and then the Kahuna, which is, I guess, kind of like the equivalent of the gym leader.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy says that after that, it really kind of opens up. It's still very story driven,
right?
Which is going to take some getting used to. But even in the, like, the, you know, training to face the Kahuna, it really kind of opened up. I had full reign of the island for the most part, so.
That's good. And, like, I will say about this game, like, it is obviously the prettiest Pokemon game we've gotten to date. Like, the effects are really cool. Like, running around on the island is really cool because it's no longer at any point in the game the top-down stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost, like, I'd say, like, a Kingdom Hearts style over the shoulder. Like, you're a little further away.
It's the way that I would put it is it's almost like a cross between third-person and isometric.
Yeah. So yeah, it's really neat. Like, it looks really good. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that doesn't look particularly great is anytime you hand off something to anyone, because you literally, like, you put your hand out there to hand something to someone, and then you retract your hand,
and then the person reaches their hand out after you've already pulled your hand back, and then they take the thing that's just, like, suspended in the air.
And that's I guess handing things is turn based. That irked me a little bit, but not enough to make me not want to play it. The Pokemon look really cool.
Yeah.
They give you legitimate options, like even in Route 1, where you're not just finding, like,
I told Billy,
bird
I was like,
and the bug.
Just normal type, yeah.
Yeah.
I told Billy, because, like, X and Y did the same thing, but this is even more. Like, I almost have a full box already.
Yeah, which is nuts.
Like, yeah. It's a little bit overwhelming because I'm like, oh, I have so many. Like, okay, well, I want to raise up him. I also want to raise up her. Oh, but I want to use this. Oh, it's borderline frustrating for wanting to, like, I want to train all of them.
Like, tripping on these Pokemon.
I will say a couple of the minor tweaks that they've done that I've really, probably the three that come to mind that I really like. At any time during the battle, you can click on the bottom screen, either Pokemon, and it will show you, like, so if someone's used Sand Attack, like, four times, it'll show you all four. It'll say, okay, your accuracy has been lowered this many times. Your defense has been lowered. Your attack has been raised. Their attack has been raised. I just think that's a really neat thing that I would have never
seen. I saw that too. You can even click on the little, like, plus symbol and minus symbol at the bottom. Yeah.
They do. So from now, like, okay, I need to heal my Pokemon. Instead of having to go to the bag, the medicine pocket, go through and scroll, find the super potion. If you go through your Pokemon screen and select the Pokemon, you can go to restore and it automatically takes you to the bag, to that pouch in the bag. And then you can just use potions.
Yeah,
whatever you need to
use.
It's
pretty cool. And then the other feature that I really like, if your party fills up.
That's the one I was going to.
Yeah, I love this feature. If you have six Pokemon in your party and you catch another Pokemon, you can just choose to send another Pokemon in your party to the box instead of the one you just caught.
It gives you the option of, okay, do you want to send the Pokemon you just caught to the box or do you want to replace a member of your party?
And I love that feature.
That's something that I never even, like, Billy was like, yeah, they needed to do that after Gen 2. And yeah, it's one of those things where, how have they not done that already?
Mm-hmm.
But I can't be that mad because it's also something that I never even thought of that I would want.
Like, I didn't know, like, you wanted until it was there.
Oh yeah, wouldn't that be neat?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's, like, oh, I really want to train him. I got to go all the way back to the Pokemon Center. But I didn't think of a solution.
Yeah. Like, there's no way that's easier.
Also, there's no HMs.
Yeah.
That's a huge deal.
Like, and I'm fine with it.
Oh, no,
like,
I love it. It's finally.
I hated, like, having to, like, I basically had Pokemon that were dedicated for certain HMs because I didn't want to.
Yeah, the HM slaves.
Yeah, the HM slaves. They only left the box when I needed to use an HM. Otherwise, yeah, no, it was dumb. Anyway, so we'll go ahead and wrap this up. We're a little bit over, but that's fine. Do our press start to join plug here for Josh and Alan. Make sure after you're done here, head over to www.ps2jshow.com. You can check out their podcast there, as well as see their social media links. And you can also find them on YouTube at youtube.com/PS2J Show. That's that important. Is PS2J will not get you there. You have to put show at the end. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We will see you next week. I know this week we've got – do we have anything special going on? We're not doing a Thursday show because it's Thanksgiving.
Yes.
But, yeah, we'll be back on Tuesday with Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man. Almost certainly be doing a show on Wednesday for PWU.
PWU because we're going to be doing the CCW preview show and then our reactions from NXT, which was last night, and Survivor Series, which is tonight.
There you go. So, yeah, if you're a wrestling fan, make sure to check that out. And then we will see you again next Sunday.